Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and I am bringing you a LifeSpot Health company today. Now, the ASX code is LSH. And really what they are in is the medical technology cannabis space, which is going to be really fun because some of you will know I do have a vape. I don't have a cannabis vape, but I do like a vape every now and again. We're going to talk vapes. It's pretty exciting. So ASX code, as I just said, LSH. Here joining me today is Matthew Golden, and he is the new CEO since November last year. Matthew, good to see you. Thanks for joining us here on Small Caps.
Hi, Kerry. Good to see you here.
Excellent. Well, listen, you've had 20 years in big pharma, both here in Australia as well as in the international market, so you're well-versed in pharma. I'm just curious what drew you to the medical technology and specifically the cannabis space.
Yeah, well, look, coming from big pharma, or having a long career in big pharma, you know, over the years we've seen medical cannabis slowly and evolve into the marketplace in general, and move from this space of illicit illegal use into more of a push for it to be an accepted part of medicine. I think everyone in the pharmaceutical space always looked at medical cannabis and thought this is going to be interesting to watch. And I think especially over the last few years, it's been really exciting to start to see the momentum move in the right direction. And by that, I mean into more of a medical space and less of a pseudo-medical space. So when the opportunity came to join LSH and get involved in the medical technology side, as well as start looking at the cannabis side in devices, then, you know, there was a great opportunity for me and something that I was very excited in.
Well, what I'd like to do is just take a little bit of a look at LifeSpot Health, because are they just focused on the cannabis sector, or are they looking, is there other areas of the business as well? So give us, I guess this is the first time you've been on Small Caps, give us a brief overview of the company itself.
Yeah, so look, LSH started very much as a sort of medical monitoring, I suppose, sort of telehealth sort of space. But I think almost right from the word go, they were starting to look into the opportunity that medical cannabis presented. And so right off the bat, they were looking and investigating way back in 2017 what the opportunities were with medical cannabis. And where they found themselves over the next few years was investing and eventually taking over several companies in Germany, which focused on the development of a cannabis vape. And the company they took over, Singvitel, has had a very nice unit. We still have that unit developed for both flower and for oils, and providing not only a vape, but a smart vape that has a lot of opportunity for use with apps and monitoring of patients and so forth. So that's sort of where they started and evolved to, through to today, where I've come on board, where we've had a look collectively at what are the future strengths of the company, what are the future opportunities, and we still see the medical device use in the cannabis field as a very strong part of the business. But I think as well as that, we've realised that we needed to work with other companies to develop also some of the medical cannabis side of it as well. So, you know, we're working with those companies to help them also deliver via vaping medical solutions for patients that are going to, I think, have real benefit and a big gap in the marketplace too.
Yeah, because cannabis is sort of pain management, really, isn't it?
Well, no, yes, it is, but it's far more than that. I think the opportunities are far greater. Certainly, I think one of the dangers in medical cannabis has been in the past, it's almost been presented as a the old West 5-cent cure-all. You know, the snakeskin salesman saying, hey, you know, buy this bottle of cannabis, it'll cure everything. That's not the case. There's no medicine that's a cure-all. But there are some areas that I think have legitimate opportunity for medical cannabis. Pain is certainly one of those areas, but there are many other areas as well. And I think before you decide what medical cannabis is good for, we have to break it down a little bit further.
Okay.
So medical cannabis is a plant.
Yep.
But it's made of multiple components. And some of those components are very therapeutic. So we know CBD has certain therapeutic values, and we know THC has certain very therapeutic values. And there's several other cannabinoids that are starting to come under investigation as well as to whether or not they also have similar therapeutic values. So I think we've moved away now from medical cannabis as this cure-all. We're moving into CBD having certain therapeutic effects and THC having certain
Sorry to interrupt you. What is THC? I mean, I know CBD is like the oil they get from the cannabis plant. Yes?
Okay.
I bet there's people out there that are thinking the same as me. So let's just unpack that a little bit. I haven't got a clue.
I'm going to have to remember the therapeutic, the full chemical name.
We don't need to know about the chemical name.
I'm going to mess this up. I know someone's going to pull me up on this. But essentially what you're talking about are two of the chemical elements within cannabis. Okay. They have some overlapping therapeutic use. They also have some separate ones. So CBD, for example, can be useful in pain. It can be useful for anxiety, insomnia, and there's a whole range of other areas, but they're probably a couple of the main ones that it's currently prescribed for. THC probably has some additional benefits, especially in pain management. But THC also, unfortunately, has some side effects, which,
okay,
depending on who you're talking to, are either wanted or unwanted. And one of those are the hallucinogenic sort of side effects. Right. So if you were to take CBD, you're not going to get high. If you want to get high, you need THC. So from a medical cannabis point of view, a medical point of view, THC is not ideal because we don't want people getting high. We want them to be treated therapeutically.
Got it.
Okay. So
yeah,
the different components of the plant do different things. Generally speaking, if you look at the medications currently out there, they're usually a range of CBD to THC ratios. Some are pure CBD, some are pure THC, and then you have a whole range of products in between that range from, you know, maybe 20 to 1 ratio, one part THC to 20 parts CBD, through to 1 to 1 ratios, or even the other way around, high CBD, low THC.
But that's not what you're doing, is it? Because you're in the you're the device part of this area, is that correct?
Yeah, so we're more focused at the moment on the device. We are partnering with other companies to look at the cannabinoid side, but the cannabinoid side is the area that they're focused on.
Right.
And as we move into clinical trial work with them, that'll be part of what we're trying to do as an overall, you know, joint collaboration into providing patient resources or patient treatments that are effective.
Okay, so where are you? Where is LifeSpot Health right now in terms of, the pathway to the end result, which is a vape, which is available to people that are, for pain management?
So I think that's an interesting question because I think the assumption from a lot of people is that, once a company starts down the clinical trial process, in 6 to 12 months, we'll have a product on the market. And the reality from a pharmaceutical regulatory point of view is very, very different. I think you only have to look at the recent announcements by the TGA and the Australian government that they're going to move the CBD-only products to an S3 rating, which basically means those products will be available over the counter at the pharmacy without a doctor's prescription.
Okay.
Which is exciting news. Now, when that was announced, I think it took effect start of February from memory, a lot of people got excited. The press got very, very excited about it. But the reality is we're not going to see a product on the market until at least maybe early, I'm guessing maybe mid-2022.
Right.
And the reason behind that is no one's doing the clinical trials. You still have to have the clinical trials to show, A, that you're safe, B, that you work, and C, what you work on. Again, you can't just say, hey, we work for everything. So you've got to choose a disease state that you think you're going to be effective in.
Okay.
You've then got to run an efficacy trial and a safety trial to make sure that you do actually have an effect beyond placebo in that clinical area, and that it's safe to use it in that clinical area. And that stuff takes time. So I think for anyone doing clinical trials in the cannabinoid industry at the moment, or medical cannabis, part of the challenge is that we're all breaking new ground. There are no registered botanical CBD or THC drugs available in Australia registered by the TGA. No, there's nothing of the botanical cannabinoids available registered on the TGA. So we're all breaking new ground. Okay. And we're not only breaking new ground, the TGA are also I think working with a lot of companies to find appropriate pathways. If this was an antihypertensive, this would be a much easier process to go through, because there's been so many antihypertensives on the market that you just look at what was done by another company and say, well, that's the clinical trial we need to produce, and bingo, off you go. Okay. But with cannabis, no one having successfully registered one of these botanical drugs as a pharmaceutical drug, that's a whole nother story. So, we're all, I think, finding the best way forward. I think a lot of companies, and certainly the companies we're dealing with, are having a lot of success in discussions with the TGA. We've certainly been consulting with the TGA on what the best path forward is from a regulatory point of view for devices, in conjunction with our partners who are doing the actual cannabis oils at this stage.
So do you work quite closely with the cannabis oil people? I mean, so, you know, what does your vape look like? Like, have you got one, or are you not allowed to show it yet?
I do have one. It's a prototype. So I can show you it, but
ladies and gentlemen, it's a first. I get excited about this sort of stuff.
You will have to excuse me, because this isn't the actual final color. The final color is going to be a very, very sexy.
I sprung this one on Matthew
as British Racing Green.
That's appropriate. Maybe cannabis.
I think that's one of the reasons, is to make it easily distinguishable as well.
Right.
You know, I think you want to know. But look, I think with patients too, you don't want to be over the top obvious that it's a cannabis vape. Right. But you know, it doesn't hurt to have a nice memorable color. But the vape is basically this little unit here.
Oh, so it looks very similar to my little jewel.
Similar sort of design. It's a very common design. I really like this design because it's nice smooth edges.
I was about to say it's got nice little rounded edges. It's very
And I can tell you, I have had that in my pocket all day on several occasions, and you can't even feel it.
Right.
It's got no sharp edges that sort of dig into your leg and when it's in your pocket or anything like that, and it's so small. That's the vape. I can tell you right now that has trying to remember banana caramel e-liquid in it right now. So there's nothing untoward in there. A little pod.
Yep.
That has the oil in it. That will eventually have some of our partners will use the pod to fill the oil. They'll sell that separately, and then that just drops in there. It's held in by a magnet, and you're off to the races.
The magnet I like.
Yeah, no buttons to press, no screwing it in like some of the old 510 threads. You'll notice, compared to some of the things you see in vape shops and vape websites, it hasn't got that big, bulky, square box body on it. And it comes with a very nice, convenient carry pack where you can actually store a spare pod. And drop that in there and it'll immediately start charging as well. So the carry case also works as a charger.
Are people that are taking this, I mean, this is a bit just coming to my mind, points to ponder, would you need a letter from your doctor to say, you know, I don't know, if the police pull you over and there you are with your cannabis vape, are you going to have to prove that you've got this from a doctor's script? I mean, how's that going to work?
I don't think it's any different from any other script. I mean,
no, but that will they have to carry it with them if they've got the cannabis? That's kind of.
I don't believe there's any requirement to, but I would have to check with the lawyers and with the doctors. But my understanding is, once it's prescribed, you do get a special access scheme approval to have it supplied.
Right.
And
I'm all for it, by the way, Matthew. I think it's bloody brilliant.
I don't believe there's any specific requirement.
Okay.
But look, the other, and this is an interesting point. As I mentioned before, patients who are using it for medical conditions tend to want to be fairly discreet about their medical condition and the medicines they're taking for it.
Right.
You know, no one wants to be out at lunch and have to take their tablets in front of a whole bunch of guests. And it's the same for vaping. So one of the benefits of vaping cannabis, as opposed to smoking a joint or using a bong or other instrument to inhale vape, is that you don't get that huge cloud of cannabis smelling smoke out of it.
Right.
You know, so it is a much more discreet way of taking it. And that's the reason behind the vapes in the first place, because right now you can purchase medical cannabis in a variety of ways. You have flower, which can be used in bongs or joints or various other ways of taking it. You have capsules, you have tinctures, and at the moment a lot of people are using the edibles as in oil under the tongue or other measures of taking it. The problem with those is they tend to take time to build up in your system. And for a chronic disease state, that's great. But there isn't really an acute solution other than a joint or bong. And the problem with those is that you're burning the leaf. So you actually destroy a lot of this THC or CBD in the process of doing that. So right. You might only be getting something like 30% of the actual chemical element that has the therapeutic value, with the rest being destroyed by the actual burning process.
Got it.
Whereas with a vape, you're actually heating, not burning. So you're getting maybe the bioavailability might be more somewhere around, they believe, somewhere around the 50% plus or minus 10%. So it might be something 40 and 60%. It's probably usually quoted around 50 to 55. So you're getting much more, you're getting none of the combustion. And let's be honest, I think whenever you smoke something anyway, in terms of you combust something, that's probably causing, in fact, we know with cigarettes, a lot of the carcinogenics, a lot of the toxins that are taken into the body through smoking are actually created through the act of burning.
Yeah.
So hence why, for example, it's less so in Australia and the US, but certainly the UK government are very much in favour of vaping over smoking, because they believe that, and the evidence that they've seen points them in the direction that, okay, vaping is far less harmful than smoking. And so you're better off moving in that direction.
Okay, well, I want to get into, because we've got a lot of investors that watch listen to our podcast, watch our videos, etc. So let's dive into some of the investment attributes for your company, LSH. It seems to me, you showed me the vape, I've got a vape here. Barriers to entry. Have you got a patent on this? Who else is doing it? Why would LifeSpot Health be the one for us to invest in versus someone else that's out there possibly doing something very similar?
Yeah, so with the actual vape itself, we have an exclusivity agreement with the manufacturer in China. So we're the only ones who have that vape in Australia. And we've also worked very closely, and we have a very strong working relationship with our partners in China. But the real issue is about, in terms of why is it a good time to invest? This is going to be a case of being the first vape in Australia. Now, there are no vapes available, cannabis vapes available in Australia at the present time.
Right.
As I said before, there's really only joints and bongs as the only acute way of taking the drug for fast response. So we're really going to become the only real viable option for an acute way of treating conditions. Now, that becomes important for pain. It becomes important for disease states like anxiety, because you don't want to be taking tablets for 2 or 3 weeks hoping your tolerance builds up to bring your anxiety down or to bring your pain down. You might use those chronic treatments, to get you to a baseline level of relaxation or a baseline level of comfort with your anxiety or pain. But inevitably, and pain's a great example, people have breakthrough pain. So they're treated to a certain level of pain, but on a regular basis, they'll have breakthrough pain where their pain spikes above that level. What do you do when that happens? Well, you can take more of what you're on. Unfortunately, for a vast majority of Australians and Americans and people in Europe, that means giving them an extra hit of opioids.
Ah, yeah, that's a big
issue. As we all know, is just not a great option.
No.
For the majority of people. A lot of patients who are on cannabis for a baseline level of pain, what do? Well, you tell them to take more cannabis. Well, it might work, but again, it's chronic conditions. It's got to build up. So a vape that can give them that short relief, get on top of their pain when they need it.
Yep.
For those spikes in their pain level or spikes in their anxiety, that doesn't exist right now.
And okay, so LifeSpot Health are going to be the ones to bring this in.
Yeah.
No one else is going to be ahead of the curve, as you pointed out. What's your time frame?
So the time frame for bringing in, without giving away too much, I can't give you exact numbers, but it'll be very, very soon.
Okay.
We're very well down the pathway of when these products will be available to patients.
Okay.
So much so that I'm biting to tell you, but just can't.
It's all right. It's all right, ladies and gentlemen. So. You know, we have to be careful. This is a public forum, so
yeah.
We're running out of time.
Relief for many patients is around the corner.
Okay, we're running out of time. Matthew, I want to know, there's a lot of cannabis companies out there. There's a lot of people in this space, and there are investors that say, well, why LifeSpot Health right now? Why would I put my hard-earned money into LSH right now?
There's a couple of key reasons. One, you're right, there are a lot of cannabis companies. Have a look at which ones are doing the clinical trials, and not just the pseudo clinical trials, but the clinical trial programs, the full programs that are designed to get regulatory approval. And that's going to be the important key, I think, a lot of experts and a lot of the lead companies around the world are talking about right now. I think the second one is to get ahead of the game in vapes in Australia, which is a unique and key market globally for a variety of reasons, but LifeSpot Health is in a position to take advantage of that and be the first on the market. And that's what we're working hard to do. I have a very strong confidence that between now and launch, there's almost zero chance of someone coming out before us. The time frame is very tight.
Yep.
So they're probably a couple of the big things, but like any investor, you know, you want to get on the train before it leaves the station. Well, the coal's firing the steam engine right now. We've got the flux capacitor attached at the back, and the wheels are coming up because we're going. We don't need roads.
Well, I love that, but I will ask you. That's just one final question. How do you distribute all these vapes? Have you got a distribution agreement coming in? Or how's that going to work?
Yeah, so we've got our partner companies have got agreements with some of the largest distributors in the country, and we're talking more about the ability to prescribe here.
So
companies like Canvalate, for example, are going to be using their network to allow patients to get prescribed our vapes where it's appropriate and for the right type of patient. Campbellite are one of the largest in the world, in Australia. But we'll also, have other supply chains throughout Australia as well. So I think we'll have a situation where just about every patient in Australia will easily be able to be prescribed our Medihale cannabis inhalers.
Is that what it's going to be called, Medihale?
Yes, the first model off the rank is the Medihale.
Medihale. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Medihale, first off the rank as a vape to help with pain, pain management, anxiety, even insomnia in some cases, I guess. It'll be very interesting how this plays out over time. So, LifeSpot Health, watch this space. It's been an absolute delight to talk with you, Matthew. Clearly someone who understands this space and this sector. And I wish you all the best with this new way of some people vaping. Thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry. Great talking to you.